Support for this podcast comes from PayPal. Small business owner? PayPal QR codes are the safe and easy payment option. It's all the security PayPal is known for online, in person. Cash only? QR codes allow you to accept credit or debit with everyday low fees. No additional hardware or software needed. Use the app to generate your unique QR code. Customers scan your code with their PayPal app to pay you. Learn more at paypal.com/us/getQR code.
This is episode number 154 with our guest, Dave Walcott. Welcome to the Hidden Entrepreneur Show. My name is Josh Carey. You want in on a little secret? I was in hiding for 40 years. Yeah, I was hiding every part of myself in every situation. And I can tell you one thing. Hiding sucks. I'm now on a mission to help extraordinary people like yourself rediscover the world around you, connect beautifully with others, and excel tremendously in all you set out to do. Join in. It's the Hidden Entrepreneur Show. Hey there. Thanks for tuning in and spending your time. The episode you're about to hear was recorded at one of our recent PodMax events. If you've been following me for any length of time, you've heard me talk about PodMax. You've probably tuned into past episodes that we recorded there. Long story short, it's an all-day, really cool event for high-level entrepreneurs who, in the course of one day in person, get their message out as a guest on multiple podcasts in their industry. It's really cool because every hour you rotate into a different studio and record as a guest being interviewed on another show. Before we get into this episode, which again was recorded at a recent PodMax event, I'm going to let my business partner, Eric Cabral, give you the 60-second lowdown on why I adore being part of PodMax. You'll get it all. You'll hear it all. It'll all make sense. And right from there, we're going to go right into the episode. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey there, entrepreneurs. Eric Cabral here, founder of On Air Brands and host of the Entrepreneur Circle and Capital Hacking. I wanted to share something truly unique with you that we've created called PodMax, which is an amazing opportunity to connect you with major podcasts to help you share your fascinating stories with their communities. This unique invitation-only event includes interviews with you on top-rated business podcasts all in one day. It also provides a unique networking opportunity with high-performance guests and thought leaders who are authors, coaches and consultants, investors, speakers, executives, you name it. These are the type of people that you need to be around. We also provide industry expert keynotes to hit our stage to share insights on podcasting, investing, marketing to help you take things to the next level. And the cool thing about PodMax is that it has a multimedia agency engine behind it with On Air Brands to provide social media promotions before and after the event to share your brand new shows with your network. So hit the apply now button at podmax.co and I hope to see you at the next PodMax event.
Hey, this is Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, and you're about to hear another episode that was recorded here at PodMax, an awesome experience for entrepreneurs to get on top-rated shows all in one day. I hope you enjoy.
Well, hey there. Welcome back. So good to have you joining us today, coming to you live from historic Trenton, New Jersey. It is actually historic, they say. We're here as part of the PodMax event. I'm sitting across from Dave Walcott, who is the CEO and founder of Pantheon Investments. How are you doing?
Good morning, Josh. Great to see you. Great to be here and have an opportunity to speak with your listeners.
Yeah, so we're just getting started with our day here, but how's everything so far? You appreciating, liking what this event is?
This PodMax event is really phenomenal. I mean, not only to get together with like-minded people, collaborate, share ideas, it's really, really fantastic. And then an opportunity to speak to, you know, so many different audiences all in one day. It's really awesome.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a really impressive format that we're all just grateful to be a part of. So you are the, among other things, I got to know you a little bit off air, and just what you've accomplished and who you are is just really intriguing to me. So let's start present day. You're the founder of Pantheon Investments, which takes a holistic approach to wealth strategy. What does that really mean? How does that differ from any other approach when you deliberately use the word holistic?
Yeah, I think taking a holistic view on building wealth is just so important. And how I kind of evolved into this was, you know, I started investing as a limited partner. And really, as an entrepreneur, entrepreneurs are really problem solvers. So I was trying to hack how to build wealth. And starting in the late 90s, right, there weren't great podcasts like this one with all these information, you know, and resources at your fingertips. So I went on this journey and quest to figure out, you know, what does it take to really build wealth? So learned about a lot of tactics, built relationships and things. But what I find in the business after, you know, this year talking to hundreds of investors, it's really amazing to me that a lot of people are just held back from looking at real estate, looking at other things in terms of building their wealth. And the reason they're being held back, it's all about mindset, right? And so that's where it starts. So I kind of started by getting into the whole psychology, right, of understanding, you know, why don't these people want to look at this better way?
You're absolutely preaching to the choir here, right? I love mindset because I've seen personally, firsthand, still to this day, what that is, what's possible when you approach things from that way. And it's so intriguing to me because I don't know if I've ever heard a wealth strategist talk and use that component, let alone what I'm hearing is really a core foundation of it. So if I come to you and I say, I have money, I want wealth, I want to build my wealth, where do you begin working with me? How does that process work?
Yeah, no, that's a great question because I think oftentimes people are, you know, new to real estate. They're new to these alternative wealth strategies, right? Because everyone has just heard what, you know, Wall Street is preaching, right? Which is, you know, save for retirement, build this nest egg, right? And, you know, pay off your debts. And all of these, you know, theories are completely incorrect. So I'd like to really start with understanding, you know, people's, you know, where they are today, right? What is your current situation? And then the first part is try to understand, you know, where do they want to go to? What is your personal vision statement? You know, do you have a personal vision statement, right? And then let's start to look at, you know, different types of vehicles that can kind of get you there. You know, let's not get caught up in, you know, this one asset's going to give you this one type of yield or whatever, but let's look at this comprehensive approach about putting all these strategies in place that will get to you ultimately to where you want to go.
So you have this amazing one sheet here with the pillars of your holistic wealth strategy. And like I said, the first one I'm reading is mindset. The bullet point under that says your why, growth mindset, beliefs, health, habits, and goals. Again, it's just amazing that you're agreeing that it's extremely important that my beliefs and my health is a part of success when it comes to wealth.
It's so critical.
My health.
Just think about if you had all the wealth in the world, but you had no health, where would you be, right? And also think about, is your health supporting your goals or is your health hindering your goals? So when you come home at the end of the workday and you're chasing around the kids or whatever you're doing, do you just want to sit on the couch and you're exhausted? Or are you completely energized, right, about all the things that you're doing in your life? So I spend a lot of time, you know, focusing on health. It's a little bit obsessive, but I firmly believe that every minute you invest in yourself or every dollar you invest in yourself, I expect a 10x return.
again, it's just so refreshing to hear this aspect because I'm not very deep right now. I'm dabbling in, I guess that's the good word, investments and my future and financial, but certainly I have a long ways to go and to explore. I am focusing tremendously over the past few years on the health and wellness of myself personally. So it's great to know that even what I've been putting is a great foundation to, in the very near future, when I'm ready to say, all right, let me learn, let me take some next steps in the, you know, money, financial, wealth portion of this, like asset repositioning you're talking about, and getting your financial IQ in order, I'll be physically, mentally, and emotionally ready.
Prepared. Yeah, 100%.
Which makes so much sense because as you're saying, whether you're listening and you're thinking, well, I have no interest in investments. Fine. Fair. This could be applicable to whatever your next desire and goal is. You have to make sure your mind, your body, your soul, your emotional state, your well-being is in check or else, like you said, nothing's going to be able to connect.
Exactly.
No matter what you're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I find most people just plateau, right? In their careers or their lives, their relationships. It's all of these things, right? But that health can completely energize you, right, to achieve those goals. And, you know, I definitely practice what I preach this year. I'm coming up to my big 5-0 in April this year.
Ooh.
And I'm big into cycling is kind of the sport that I do. But it's been amazing. I won a race in September and had a couple PRs this year that were, you know, the best ever performances of my life yet. And so I'm feeling, you know, coming upon this milestone, I'm feeling better than I ever have. And all that's doing is just, you know, hypercharging, right, everything else around me, right? My family, my energy for work, and all of those things. So I definitely believe that, you know, health is the foundation for all of these things that you can accomplish.
First of all, you do not look 50, approaching 50. I'm sure you get
thanks.
That, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I too, I'm 45. I turned 45 this year, and sometimes I can't believe that because I don't feel it. Sometimes I don't act it.
Yeah.
But I too am feeling the best really I ever have in my life because
Awesome. Finally
I'm getting everything inside and out. And I go through my day and I'm just energized and excited and vibrant all day. And that has to do with my habits, my eating, my exercise, my mental state, all of that, which is a daily thing. But it's amazing to hear you say you feel in the best shape of your life, considering 25 plus years ago, you were a Marine. A Marine.
Yeah,
and yet you're saying, no, at 50, I feel the best I ever have.
Yeah. Yeah. And mentally, and it's like the entire thing. I mean, this is another great thing to share. If anyone's been, I'm in the Strategic Coach Program, which is the Dan Sullivan Entrepreneurial Coaching Program. It's just so phenomenal. But there's this construct about time, right? And we all were brought up in this industrial age, in this old era of thinking this, it's a time and effort economy, right? So I go to work 9 to 5, right? Punch the clock and, you know, and then you get compensated for that, right? But if you want to be an entrepreneur, you live in a performance-based economy, right? You don't get compensated until you create value to the world, right? So, I mean, you know, just think about that a little bit, right? And, you know, I'm constantly thinking about how can I add value, right, to investors? How can I add value to the people around me all the time? And as you do that, you know, your success just climbs, right, with that, right? It's and whether that took you 1 hour to do that or 15 hours to do that.
Hmm. So you today absolutely epitomize the role of entrepreneur, but that wasn't always the case. And I want to dig into that a little bit. But let's take it back to the beginning and then we'll catch up real time. What was life like growing up for a young Dave Walcott?
Yeah, so I grew up in Connecticut in a typical middle-class family and probably just like so many people out there, right? Everything that was espoused around the benefits of, you know, working hard, going to school, getting good grades and then getting a good job was, you know, the holy grail, right? This is what you were supposed to do unless you were a prodigy, right? You were lucky enough to be an athlete or a musician or something like that. So I followed that path, right? Went into college and then into ROTC and the Marines after that. The interesting thing about the Marines as well was that it was the sense of mission and the sense of purpose that I was really able to embrace and know that I was having a bigger impact, you know, supporting such a large mission. That really resonated with me and working at, you know, such a high level, peak level of performance.
Why was that so important? Was there something that was instilled in you? I get that it was drilled into you early on that you follow the stereotypical path. You do good, you get good grades, you get a good job. But then why did that translate into service of others?
It was interesting because, again, you kind of leave high school, and this is really near and dear to me because my kids have just, you know, gone into college, right, and they're transitioning, and I'm really trying to get them to understand their purpose. So what fascinates and motivates you? You know, what do you get out of bed and you're fired up, you know, to go do. And when I got into in school, right, I didn't love school. I was one of those guys who had to like work a lot harder. I got maybe a B minus, you know, B's, you know, that type of, you know, grades. But then after in the Marines, I was able to work with people. I got to exercise leadership skills, the responsibility of doing something important, you know, all of those traits like really resonated with me and were things that, you know, I really like to do. So then I was able to move past the, you know, identification of just, you know, your success based on your GPA, you know, translating into all of these other type of skills. And then I moved into corporate America from there and realized, you know, everyone said you got to just climb the corporate ladder, right? That's the only way. And I felt so trapped in there. It felt like such a box. You know, you can only get promoted based upon what HR says, you know, not on the actual performance that you did, right? So I kind of worked through the ladder there for about 5 years. And then I had the opportunity to read Rich Dad Poor Dad in the late 90s. And that's when the light bulb really went off for me on this entire construct of the cash flow quadrant. So I knew at that point I had to be an entrepreneur. I had to be an investor. You know, that was the way to play this game. But yet there was no playbook on how to do that, right?
So many things we're going to dig into from all of that. You mentioned that, especially at this point in your life, you have a 21-year-old daughter and you have 19-year-old triplets.
Yes.
Boys?
Two girls. The triplets are two girls and a two boys and a girl.
Is that is that common enough for triplets? Does the gender mix?
I mean, they're not identical. They're right. Fraternal, right?
So
but yeah,
could...
I think it's just random. Yeah. We hit the baby lottery.
So you had one child at home.
Yeah.
You're like, honey, and then you're pregnant again. So you're like, great, there'll be two children in
right.
the house.
Right.
But then you learn, no, we're gonna have four children in the house.
Yeah.
And you're in your 20s at this point.
Yeah, probably late 20s and realizing this. And by the way, I mean, talk about a motivator for building wealth, right? The whole financial planner advice of 7-8% return isn't going to get you there. I mean, for sure.
Right. So what do you do with that information? How do you initially process this? What do you make of it? What do you do?
Of the triplets?
There you go.
Well, I drank some tequila that night. Let's put it that way. My neighbor brought me over and said, let's sit down here and, you know, let's have a couple of drinks, get your head around this. But I mean, it was like a fairy tale. I mean, these are things you read about in the newspaper, you watch on the TV, right? Someone having, you know, multiple births. We had no idea. It doesn't run in the family.
Oh, wow.
Didn't know for like, you know, 3-4 months into the first ultrasound that my wife was having triplets.
Wow.
So. Yeah.
And I love that earlier you said that, especially now, you're trying to instill in your children a sense of purpose. I'm honored to be a father. I love the role. I love my children. I have a 6-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son.
Nice.
So I'm all for purpose and that, but I think it's a little young for me, right? How do you, through the years, even today, how do you work that into conversation and into fatherhood with them?
Josh, that's a really great question. And I would say it's never too early, right? It could be that first lemonade stand, right, that they put out and everything. But you realize that all of these things, I'm working with investors now who are super successful people, you know, doctors, entrepreneurs, right? But they haven't learned financial education. Right, they've been brainwashed by Wall Street and conventional wisdom on these are all the right things to do, and it stems from a childhood, right? Because parents are teaching the kids what they knew. So if you can teach these kids about mindset early on, I mean, I can't tell you how rewarding it is to see my kids. I mean, my daughters meditate in the morning as part of their morning routine. They're journaling. They're big into exercise, and the level that they are intellectually, emotionally at their age is just, it's astonishing. So once you can master your mind, you're able to master your money, right? So start that at a very early age, and then it just grows right from there.
I love the idea of, because even, you know, my children are young, but I am aware that every minute of every day, for better or worse, I'm a model to them. They're taking it all in. So one of the obvious things is I exercise in-house. We have a treadmill and I use that almost daily. And my kids are very aware that, oh, daddy is exercising. Yeah. Because I want them to start relating that. And I tell them I do it because it's healthy and it's good for your body and all these benefits. So I see that by them even acknowledging that at a very early age, hopefully that'll translate.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And think about, right, as entrepreneurs, right, we have the opportunity to get our kids to work into the business. You know, in the old days, right, it was taboo to talk about money, right? No one really talked about money at the dinner table. You know, it was the wrong thing to do. But we incorporate money into everything we talk about because really money is just a medium of exchange. Right? It's all about how you prioritize things in your life and what do you really want to do. So if your kids are looking at, you know, Christmas and do I really want this toy? Or, you know, maybe I can also contribute something to charity or let me contribute to my future. I mean, let me put my future plan in place, right? Set up something like the infinite banking strategy at an early age. So these are like really key core concepts that I think, you know, people should get into. And it's really interesting because some of my kids' friends, right, they're already being held back. They're already being held back, right, because of beliefs that, you know, their parents taught them. And that's where it all starts. And
let's talk about your experience in the Marines. Thank you for your service, by the way. Nice. This was in the 90s. I was in high school at that time, so I know we didn't have we had some conflict.
Yeah. We were in the early 90s, was in 6th Marines, was an infantry officer, and then went into reconnaissance after that as well. But right at the tail end of the first Gulf War, went into the Mediterranean. And then this funny 5 seconds of fame I had was in Somalia. So we got called in once Somalia was kind of falling apart, and then everyone evacuated. Our unit went in, deployed, and then kind of pulled out all of the troops. But it was really interesting. At the end, we did this big tactical withdrawal and everything. And so we're coming out. At this point, we started this thing at like 3 a.m., like removing all of U.S. forces out of Somalia, like right at the end. And then we got to the beach front, and we were on amphibious assault vehicles, right, that would go out to the ship and everything. So there's all these reporters on the beach, and, you know, one of them says, hey, you know, where are you all going, right? Because they're starting to get really concerned that all the Americans are now leaving, and it was a pretty hostile environment. So one reporter says, what about us? And so I said, get out while you can. And they took that and quoted that. And I was on the front page of, New York Times, Washington Post, you name it. When asked Lieutenant David Wolcott, how's the situation in Somalia? He said, get out while you can. So,
oh, my God. How do you feel about that? How did you feel about that? What came of that?
Oh, nothing. It was fun. I got a lot of good feedback from, friends and family afar. So it was fun.
Like, hey, we saw your name.
Right. We saw you in the newspaper, and I didn't even know that until they were sending me letters on ship, and sending me different articles and stuff. So it's cool.
Wrapping up that portion of your life, the Marines, which I'm guessing to this day is really a significant part of who you are. Is that accurate?
I think I have internal drive. I mean, my genetics, my mom, my grandmother, right? I have a lot of internal drive, right, to do things. And it's interesting, right, because I'm constantly looking at human performance and how you can level up your game, right, with mindset, with health, with all of these different types of things. Trying to graduate and level that up, if you can add the other external factor, right, into your influence, then, you can really have some exponential results. So that might be, collaborating, right, with a team, getting some kind of other external forces, right, to drive you to the results that you want in addition to your inner, your inner drive. But I always had, I came from a lot more on the side of inner drive, right, that kind of sent me on my path.
How long were you in the Marine Corps? 4 years?
4 years after college.
Yeah. Incredible. Yeah. Looking at that time in your life, what stands out as one moment of massive growth?
I think the one moment was probably in Somalia and being in a combat situation. We had trained, months and years for it's like training for the Super Bowl, but you never get a chance. And then you finally get to go and, it's completely natural. Right, it's really easy because the training is just—it's so grueling, and people are really prepared. They prepare you for that.
So you learned a lot about yourself and your capabilities.
Self-assessment, leadership, understanding. Where you fit in. Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
You got to pat yourself on the back a bit and say, I did that. I accomplished this. I was capable of that.
Yeah, I think you learn a lot about yourself because they flush people out. It's a pretty high bar, so they flush people out pretty
I've read
quickly.
Books.
Yeah.
I don't know how accurate, but yeah, they're books.
Yeah.
So then you went into the corporate world following the advice that you were told all of your life. And I'm guessing you said you were miserable, but on the opposite side, there was a paycheck that just didn't keep you happy enough. Was that also the stereotype?
Yeah, I think I just, being in that corporate world, I lost that sense of purpose, right? It seemed very transactional to me. Everyone in business just loses that, sense of meaning in the things that you do. And so I felt as if I kind of drifted away from my purpose. I mean, on the surface, everything would be great. You're getting promoted, you're doing new things, and, you're rising through the ranks. But I just didn't feel, right, that I was living my purpose,
Did you know what your purpose was, or did you have to figure it out?
It's been an evolution. Yeah, and I think it's something that's always, somewhat dynamic, right? Because you're growing, you're at different stages of your life and different things. But I lost that sense of purpose, and I really wanted to really regain that and just to have meaning in the things that I do, right? And that's really important to me. So whether it's relationships, business, sports, just trying to really have intention with that. And as an entrepreneur, right, you can take charge of that and you have the ability to carve out the life you want to live. right? And the funny thing is, right, we talk about wealth, we talk about real estate and all the, a lot of these things. I mean, these things are tactics. But if you think about the big picture, what is it really, right? Wealth is all about, how do you want to live your life? What is your vision, right? And if your vision is having phenomenal relationships, say, with your family and friends, that doesn't take money. That just takes you, you know, reaching out, right? Taking you investing in those relationships. And you can do that today, right? If that's what's important to you. You probably want to live a healthy life. You also want to be healthy in your later years. You don't want to be lying on some bed, right, being inactive. But if you have a quality of life up until your end, I mean, you can work on that now, right? And that doesn't even take much money, right? So I think it's fascinating that we all kind of focus on money. And yes, it helps buy travel and, you know, certain things that you want to do. I mean, you know, let's face it, that's important. But
it gives you options.
You'd be amazed, though, is this if you clearly define your target on what you want to get to, you can start living a lot of that today. If you don't have a target, you'll miss every time.
I've heard that my whole life, and it's one of those things that until you are ready to hear it and embrace it, you blow it off. That's what I did my whole life.
Yeah.
I've heard it. It's so logical, so obvious, and I'm like, yeah. Okay, I know.
Yeah.
But you never really sit, write it down, define it. These days, I do that daily goals and what you want to accomplish, weekly, monthly, yearly,
right.
3, 5, 10, what have you. And living, breathing proof, you can get there if you define it.
Josh, I mean, you are so spot on with that. And I mean, how many podcasts or stories have we heard where people have some amazing stories and they went through a huge transformational shift, but it was based upon a life crisis. They had some huge health issue, right? And that was the transformative moment for them where they said, wow, you know, life is really precious. Now I need to, you know, reset my purpose and go to that. So, you know, what I want to do is really try to help people say, you know, take action now. You have the opportunity now to take action. Don't just listen to this podcast and go on about your day, right? Take some time to assimilate what might make sense, you know, work on your vision and start, you know, start getting there. Don't wait for that life crisis to happen.
Tying this into purpose, I feel that there are three different types of people listening right now. The person who has purpose and has identified it and is living like you, where every day is a great, excited adventure and they know what they're driving towards. Then there's the person on the opposite side who is caught up in a life they are not happy with and does not know what their purpose is or really what they want. And we could even tweak that by saying, sure, they know, they just haven't identified it clearly enough for themselves.
Right.
And with that, there's also the person who is living a life they do not enjoy, and they know what they want to be doing. They just haven't found the power, the ability, or the path to going there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I mean, one of the recommendations I have, you know, that I think is really powerful, again, starting at that base level of mindset, is the morning routine, right? And I even struggled with this one for a long time, right? Because it's, you know, we're constantly pressured to, I got to get the kids off to the, you know, school bus, I got to get to the office, there's this meeting or whatever. But I mean, I spend 2 hours in the morning, you know, prepping, which involves, you know, I start off my day with positive affirmations on the things that, you know, really went well in my life. So it's always a very, you know, positive thing. I talk about a gratitude practice for myself every day, you know, what I'm grateful for. Then I move into some intense exercise, usually cycling, high intensity intervals and things like that. And then I go to meditation and journaling from there. And it's just so powerful how you can just shut out the noise. especially today, we're constantly inundated with, you know, text messages, phone calls, emails, constantly people looking for us, right? So, I can understand why people can't figure out what their vision is, right? We're constantly in a state of being reactionary, right? So how do we actually get there? But when you go through, I mean, think of how you feel after you've had a great workout, and then if you meditate after that, and then start writing down your thoughts, you become clear, right, on what's ahead. The path goes from, hey, I had to do these 20 things to, hey, these two things really resonate. So let me start with that. You know, let me dial in what fascinates and motivates me. You know, what's really important to me. But I think just that morning routine sets your day out to live with intention, right? And then shuts out the noise so you can feel like you're really making progress towards your goals.
Do yourself a favor, if you're listening to this, rewind the past 60 to 90 seconds, because what you just blocked out is gold, really. And it's the thing. It's legit. I spent a lifetime hearing all that, but not really accepting it and making every excuse in the book. As they say, success leaves clues. And when I was ready to better myself, because I was, you know, I was not a good person, right? I was angry, I was miserable, I was frustrated, I was confused, all those things. Didn't want to be that person. My children helped reflect that back to me. That was almost my life crisis. I'm like, okay, I can't continue be this person in front of them. No more. You know, behind closed doors for myself, fine. I'm only hurting myself, quote unquote. But I was like, no. I'm better, they're better, they deserve much better than this. Then I started saying, okay, well, let me look at people who I want to be like. And that's how you do it. And you don't have to, you just listed out a dozen things you do during the course of the day. I do them too, or even in the course of a morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to do them all at once.
Exactly.
Try one, in fact, you shouldn't. Because then you're going to get overwhelmed. It's not going to maintain. And you're going to say, see, I can't do it. I couldn't do it. I shouldn't do it.
Right.
Do one at a time.
Exactly.
Do it for a day. Yeah. Do it for a week. Do it for a month. Do it for a year. Just do one thing you know you can be doing that somebody who is in a place you like and want to be and implement it.
Yeah. 100%. The goal setting is a really tangible way to do that. And yeah, I look at my goals, you know, on a weekly basis. I have 90-day goals, I have 1-year goals, 3-year goals, 25-year goals, right? And it's interesting if you look at the connection, you know, to all of those things. Like, I have a lifelong longevity goal, right? Which we've talked a lot about health, right? But I was able to actually pull that forward to today and say, hey, if I want to live a quality life and an extended lifetime, I mean, what am I doing? I mean, let me be honest with myself, right? What am I actually doing? Okay, I'm eating well, right? I'm exercising, but there's more things I can do. Right. I can, you know, so that's when I got involved in integrative medicine, which I highly recommend. It's kind of a holistic way to look at nutrition and health and everything. So it's looking at your lifestyle and all these different things. And then you can kind of tweak the dials and things on that. But I was able to pull that long-term goal, you know, forward into, you know, I have this simple goal of, you know, cooking twice a week. Right. So it's very small. Right. But it's like, hey, if I can cook and then, you know, be healthier. Right. Rather than, you know, eating out all the time, that really makes sense. And then it's also solves some other things. Right. I'm able to bring the family together. Right. And by having other people, and now you're sharing your health with your family. Right. So it's like it's kind of becomes multidimensional. Right. The value that you can get from, you know, simply taking that goal forward.
Can you give us a broad overview, perhaps, of just touch on what this integrative medicine is?
Yeah, integrative medicine is really phenomenal. Dr. Anthony Weil was pretty much the godfather of this and kind of started it. But it's looking at your health in a holistic level, right? So when you go and you meet with a doctor, he's talking about your lifestyle. I mean, how much stress do you have in your lifestyle? What's your routine? You know, what are you eating? What are your habits? Right? Are your habits supporting your health or taking away from your health? So they're looking at those things, and then they check what's under the hood, right? So you'll do a comprehensive blood work, and then they come back, and, you know, despite me being, you know, super, you know, healthy and fit. Exercising and fit and all that, I mean, he uncovered like a big landmine for me. I actually had one artery recently. I did a proactive heart scan and found that one artery was like half clogged. And, you know, he said I was basically walking around with a landmine. So, I mean, thank God I found out, right? And now I can kind of mitigate. But, you know, be proactive about your health, right? And think of it as a line item on your balance sheet, right? I think, you know, and again, going back, you know, again, this all starts in the beginning. It's investing in yourself. But integrative medicine is the problem with Western medicine, right? Is people, they treat symptoms. Okay. I've got this issue. I go to see the doctor. I see that. And the insurance pays for that, right? That's all they're set up to pay for. A lot of this type medicine, we're talking about being preventative and proactive. But again, think about, right, if you can invest in yourself, you know, every dollar I invest in myself, people say, oh, well, it's expensive to do that. I mean, sure, you're going to write the check, but think about how much those medical bills can be if that ailment, you know, becomes something big, right?
How does somebody first venture down that path to find, make a call, set up? Where does that begin?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not certain on, you know, based on your location or where you are, but I would explore, you know, your insurance plan and kind of maybe do some research on, you know, an integrative doctor that's in your area, right, to get there. But I highly recommend it because the approach, like I said, is being proactive about your health, right, and uncovering, it's what you don't know. I mean, I thought I felt fine, right, and then he comes out and he said, wow. I mean, I was kind of surprised. I mean, I had a bunch of things that, you know, we needed to tweak. And then you just kind of adjust the dials. And it's mostly by taking all natural supplements is really what it is also. It's not taking some, you know, pill or medicine. It's more of, you know, natural supplements to get your body to be working in harmony.
Mm. My brand, The Hidden Entrepreneur, was founded on the premise that I spent a lifetime hiding behind fear, using that as an excuse for everything. Can you share a time with us that comes to mind where you were faced with a boatload of fear and you could have cowered in the corner, but you knew you had to figure out how to get right through that?
Yeah, no, Josh, I think I love the concept of hidden entrepreneur because, you know, wherever you are in your journey as an entrepreneur, whether you're thinking about starting a business, you've started a business, you had some success, you know, or you're trying to take your business to, you know, 8 or 9 figures in scaling, you know, we're constantly growing, right? But I started my first business I started 13 years ago was this IT services business. And the first 6 years were phenomenal. You know, it was triple digit growth every year. We won the Inc. 5000 award, built a phenomenal team, great, you know, client base. And then after there was some issues that we lost some key clients, some key people, you know, all right in, you know, a 90 day period and, you know, found ourselves going from like, you know, 6 years of trajectory to, you know, going backwards in 90 days was like, you know, crazy. So, you know, we then had to figure out, right, okay, well, what's next? You know, how do you push through this? And we started another business, started a technology product business from there. But it was kind of this period of reinvention and everything. So, you know, so your point about the hidden entrepreneur really, really resonates because I felt that I'd kind of lost my way a little bit as an entrepreneur and that I needed to basically, you know, reinvent myself, right? And this is when I kind of came up with this idea, and it was through a lot of reflection and self-assessment that I wanted to take my business around investing and wealth building and share that with other people. Because that would provide, you know, the most meaning to me. And that's what I wanted to focus on and working with other, you know, entrepreneurs and great people. So it took me a lot of courage, you know, to get to that point. And then also going through the Strategic Coach Program, like I highly recommend any, coaching or mentoring program to just help you level up, help you think about your thinking and kind of, move out of, we can be in that kind of plateau, right? And trying to move to that next level.
Looking at the, man, extraordinary dialogue we've had today. I adore everything we've touched upon today. I feel like we could talk for hours.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. Looking back on all of it, to the listener, how do we succinctly put into perspective the thing they need to hear, the thing they need to know? What is it all about for them to take away when they are finished listening to this episode?
Right. Well, I do have, I'm actually writing a book on this. Will come out next year, but we've just put together an ebook. And this, you can go to our website. It's just pantheoninvest.com/wealth-strategy. And you can download, we have kind of an infographic on what this framework looks like and what the strategy is. But it's really succinctly in three different phases, right? The first one is mindset, which, we spent a bunch of time thinking about. So really challenge yourself to think about your mindset, think about what your vision is. The second one would be learning, right? Learning, trying to build your financial IQ, your health IQ, your mindset IQ, all of these things as the building blocks to where you can move to. And then the third phase is really taking action, right? So that's taking action into some of these strategies. Like I'm going to invest in this, my first syndication this year, or I'm going to, pull the trigger on doing my first single family project or starting a business, right? What is it? I'm going to take action to kind of get there.
This has been so, so amazing. I'm going to leave you with this final question. Dave Walcott, how would you like to be remembered?
Oh, great question. I'd like to be remembered as someone who made an impact and left a legacy by, having meaningful relationships with those that I work with my family, and hopefully pass on some of those values and principles. I mean, not only just leaving money as a legacy, but really the values and principles. And if I can help inspire people to, to take that next step, I'm trying to challenge myself to, to be able to provide that message for folks and inspire them.
What a rewarding dialogue. What a brilliant, extraordinary man you are. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been an absolute treat and pleasure. Thank you kindly.
Thanks, Josh. Really grateful for the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners. Really appreciate it. And thanks.
Thanks for listening to The Hidden Entrepreneur Show. Make sure to subscribe through iTunes or Google Play so you can get notified every time we publish a new episode. And we'd love to hear your thoughts with an honest review on iTunes. Finally, follow us on your favorite social media platforms to keep the conversation going with Josh Carey and today's guest. Until next time.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.